ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Australia has more national security and counter-terrorism laws than most countries in the world. Did you know that? In 2019, in fact, the New York Times declared Australia could be the world's most secretive democracy. A review now by the Independent National Security Legislation Monitor will look at Australia's secrecy laws that human rights groups say have a chilling effect on whistleblowers, journalists and civil society organisations. Jake Blight is the Independent National Security Legislation Monitor and he'll be conducting public hearings for that review today. He joins me now from Parliament House. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, David.
Now, these laws are pretty broad and really complex. Can you break down as simply as you can what these security offences actually do?
Sure. Well, I'm looking at part 5.6 of the Criminal Code, and there's four basic offences, three for officials and one that applies to everyone, including journalists. And they're very broad. They cover a range of government information, some things that are related to national security, some things for defence, law enforcement. And one of the challenges I'm looking at is whether these laws are too broad, whether the way they describe things is too broad, and whether they pick up things like merely receiving documents, which is excessively repressive on journalism and other things. That's what I'm being told.
Tell us why we have so many national security laws compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's an interesting challenge. If you look across our statute book, we have literally thousands of national security laws. To give you a rough idea, if you were to add up sort of the number of pages that deal with our security and our law enforcement intelligence and all their powers, you'd be looking at about 3,000 plus pages. That's about the same number as the complete works of William Shakespeare, Tolstoy's War and Peace, and all three volumes of Lord of the Rings added together. So there is a lot of laws. But in the secrecy space, where we do have something like 800 different secrecy provisions, I'm focused on the big ones, the 7+3, the up to 10-year offences in the Criminal Code. They're the ones I'm looking at the moment.
Are these laws fostering a culture of secrecy?
Well, that's one of the submissions that's been put to me. But it's also important to remember that there is undoubtedly information which, if disclosed, can cause harm. And we always have to balance this so that in empowering our national security, police and law enforcement agencies to do their important work, we have to always be careful that the very democracy we're asking them to protect isn't getting undermined. And that's a democracy underpinned by freedom of communication, accountability, and which is supported by a free press.
But is there any reason that Australia would need to have more secrecy than other similar nations around the world?
Look, all of our common countries that we compare ourselves to, like Britain, Canada, New Zealand, all have offences, but it is fair to say that Australia's are perhaps more far-reaching and the penalties are higher. And comparing those laws is one of the things I'll be looking at over the next couple of days.
And do you have a view? I mean, obviously it's very early days, but is it something that should be pared back? Is it something that needs to change?
Well, there's a couple of areas that I'm particularly focused on at the moment. And one is that it's an offence to disclose any document or information that a government official has stamped as secret. And that stamp itself sort of has effect in law. And the question is really, should sending someone to jail be a matter of a judge deciding whether there's been harm or risk of harm? Or should the core of that offence be deciding whether an official put a stamp on a document?
Now, no one has actually been charged under these laws that came into place in 2018. Is that evidence that they do have a chilling effect on whistleblowers?
Not necessarily. I mean, there haven't been, over the last 70 years, all that many charges for secrecy. I mean, the ones that we've got in the news at the moment are very high profile, but it's not a particularly common kind of crime. So the fact they haven't been used in a prosecution yet isn't itself really evidence of anything. I'll be hearing from AFP and others over the next couple of days about how they operate under these laws, as well as from journalists and media organisations about how they feel these laws are affecting their work.
There are big implications indeed for journalists in the laws. Media organisations are advocating for more protections for journalists. What would those sorts of protections potentially look like?
Well, there's some technical issues around whether something should be a defence that a journalist has to discharge the evidential burden on, or whether it should be a carve-out when something's in the public interest. That's one of the more technical issues I'm looking at. But another issue that's important to journalists that I've been hearing is that there's an offence of simply receiving a classified document. So if someone gives something that's classified, stamped secret, to a journalist, the journalist has potentially committed a crime the moment they intentionally receive that document, before they've done anything else with it, before they've assessed it, before they've copied it, before they've published it. And there's certainly a lot being put to me that that itself has a chilling effect that isn't necessary.
The laws mean that anything leaked out of Australia's national security agencies could result in a 7-year sentence. Do you think that needs to change, and why?
Well, it's actually a 7 or up to 10 year sentence if it's disclosed by someone with a security clearance. And again, there is definitely information inside these agencies which could harm the national interest if disclosed. Though the laws do require that, the laws cover, sorry, any information created by those agencies. Now, those agencies also create ordinary administrative information. They buy stationery. They do internal investigations into bullying and harassment. Now, it's not obvious that all of those kind of administrative and corporate matters should automatically be covered by the same laws that apply to their most secret undercover operations.
And do you expect a strong pushback from our national security agencies to some of these pushes to, you know, for loosening up, I guess, of these laws?
Well, I expect they'll have some clear views that they'll put over the next couple of days, but I expect them to be also cognizant that their role is to operate within the laws Parliament sets for them. And whilst they'll certainly be keen to protect their most secretive information, I hope they're open to understanding that there may need to be some nuance in the law around just where the lines are drawn.
Now, this is something that all might be pretty interesting for people listening, that some of the national security laws have even stopped historians from being able to give detailed accounts of how different security agencies have operated over the years. How's that happened?
Well, again, these laws apply very broadly to any information created by or for those agencies. They don't distinguish between old information and new information. So unless something's been officially released under the Archives Act after, you know, a couple of decades, it's still captured by these laws. There isn't a clear process for identifying whether documents still cause harm.
David McBride is in the news once again, the whistleblower, and he's the feature of a Four Corners episode tonight. Where does that case sort of sit in this space and the sorts of things that you're looking at?
Well, the laws that I'm focused on are the criminal code ones, which came into effect in 2018. Mr. McBride's case was before that, so he wasn't charged under these provisions. In fact, he was charged under some Defence Force-specific provisions, as well as the Old Crimes Act. So his case is outside of the scope of what I'm looking at. It would be a different matter if someone today in his position released documents which had secret or top secret stamped on it. Those would be covered by these much broader with higher sentence laws.
Jake Blight, great to speak to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jake Blight is the Independent National Security Legislation Monitor.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.